As I was preparing for this message, I was thinking about, you know, we are remaining watchful for the day of the Lord. The whole series of messages has been on the day of the Lord, the coming day of the Lord. And as we remain watchful for the day of the Lord, which is the day of His coming, we must remain thankful. And the reason I say must is because it is a sign of faith. And as we read the scripture today, as we go through the message, you're going to see why I say it's a sign of faith. Remaining faithful is equal to remaining thankful. Today's the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. And that's when we celebrate God's gift of the Holy Spirit to His people. The gift of God, the Holy Ghost, enables us to be faithful and thankful to Him. And this week, across the land, people will celebrate the Thanksgiving holiday. Everywhere. That's one thing. There are going to be millions of people that are celebrating Thanksgiving. Many of them don't have an idea of what it's about. Some of them think it's just about chowing down on some good food. And this week, some might spend it with family, some might spend it with friends, and some might spend it with both. And others might just eat alone, and some might not eat at all. There are many people that are homeless, and there will be meals that are put out for people who become homeless. We might be planning a big feast or maybe just a quaint dinner. And these are things that all of us typically do to celebrate what we call Thanksgiving. Lots of animals have been slaughtered. Fruits and vegetables have been harvested. Many liquids are prepared for this occasion. We're not talking about turkey and stuffing today. We're not talking about mashed potatoes, applesauce, cranberries, and pumpkin pies today. No, instead, we're going to look at some of the deeper layers of meaning behind Thanksgiving. In this message, I've called A Mouth Full of Thanksgiving. And so, if you will, open your Bibles now. It's page 796 in the Pew Bible, the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Again, that's page 796 in the Pew Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to begin with verse 16, but we're going to go a little further than what I had planned originally. As I was reading the scripture this morning, I realized we can go a little further. So we're going to start in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we'll stop our reading. I trust that the Lord will add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His word. You know what? I want to pray. Almighty God, please hear my prayer. We need you. We need your guidance, Lord. Please take a hold of me and use me today. I'm powerless to speak without you. I need you to touch me. I need you to anoint me with your sanctifying grace. I need you to guide me to speak with your words. You are all powerful. So I ask that you would make your power known over our souls today. Help us to be thankful in these troubling times. Deliver us from evil, Father. Thank you for your love and mercy and grace, and keep us from taking these blessings of yours for granted. Please pour your Spirit upon all who hear these words. I ask that you would use my preaching in your might. Let me not use enticing words of man's wisdom, that our faith would not stand in the wisdom of man, but in demonstration of your Spirit and your power, as it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let your will be done here today, I pray, in Christ's mighty and majestic name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Rejoice. Pray. Give thanks. This is the will of God. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. So in other words, those who speak the word. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Test all things. You know, make sure that when you're hearing these prophesyings, these messages, if you will, when the speaker is sharing, make sure that it is actually biblical. Check it. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly, completely. And here, Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, says he prays that their whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. These things are necessary. They're not suggestions. They're instructions. When I think about giving thanks, I said, well, what is that word thanksgiving? What does that mean? Okay, and when I look in the definition in the dictionary, I see that it is the act of giving thanks. Well, that's pretty simple, right? Thanksgiving, giving thanks, right. Okay, a prayer expressing gratitude. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. A prayer of thanks, okay? And we have to think that definition also says rendering thanks for good received. But the scripture says give thanks in everything, not just in the good things. And so sometimes it's tough. I ask, do we prayerfully express gratitude and thanks for all the good in our lives? Well, that's pretty easy, right? Something good happens. Let's just say, for example, we're going down the road, and instead of being in that accident, we just narrowly miss it. I've been in a few accidents, and I know how you can narrowly miss some, and sometimes you don't. You can give thanks. Oh, thank you, Lord. Woo! That could have been bad. Thank you, Lord. When we were going down to Florida, we hit a lake in the middle of one whole lane was buried in water, and we plowed into that at 65 miles an hour, and I'm telling you, we were floating. We were not on the road anymore. Now we were a boat, okay? And the vehicle got sucked over toward the concrete, and then we jiggled back over this way and back and forth. There's a car beside us, sort of beside us, behind us, and they must have slowed down when they saw us get sucked over to the concrete. And it's God's will. I said, "Woo! Praise the Lord." That could have been bad. Could have been bad. Could have ended our trip right there. We give thanks in those good things, right? But we have to be careful not to get stuck when we're in the bad stuff not giving thanks. We have to not be complaining about the bad stuff. We need to be giving thanks even in those difficult situations and circumstances in our lives. And that's a tough one for us. It's a tough one for me, folks. And I'm not telling you to do something that God hasn't instructed me to do. When circumstances are overwhelming, like all those things that were happening to us before we were going away, it was overwhelming. I had to give thanks. Thank you, Lord. I know you've got something in this. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to praise you in the storm. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, we read, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" Communion, the unity, the building, the strengthening. Before being sacrificed, Jesus met with his disciples for supper. No, that's not unusual, right? I mean, everybody gets together for supper. But at that meeting, he gave thanks to God. He blessed the bread and he blessed the cup, as we will today as we partake in communion. He gave thanks. Even though he knew he was going to die. There was no doubt. He absolutely knew, and he said, "I thank you, Father." Now that's a tough one, folks, okay? If we know we're going to be slaughtered, we're going to be butchered, we're going to be beat up, we're going to be mauled, we're going to be mangled by bad people, are we going to be able to say, "I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father"? That's a tough one. But here, Jesus gives us an example. He knew he was going to die, and he said thank you to the Father. He gave thanks. The Hebrew word which is translated thanksgiving means a properly an extension of the hand, that is, by implication, an open declaration. Usually means adoration. Specifically, a choir of worshipers. We used to have a choir here. They're long gone. But that's thanksgiving. It's praising. And it's also confession. A sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of thanks, and thanksgiving, thanks offering, and that comes from the Strong's Hebrew definition. A modern dictionary says thanksgiving is, now listen to this, okay, there's a big difference. The fourth Thursday in November observed as a legal holiday in the U.S. for giving thanks for divine goodness. For divine goodness. How many people, when they're sitting down to eat their Thanksgiving dinner, are going to be giving thanks for divine goodness? I don't know how many will. I sure pray all of us will. And everybody who hears this message. Webster's dictionary says thanksgiving is a public celebration of divine goodness. A public celebration of divine goodness. It's not just a private celebration. It's a public celebration of divine goodness. And it's also a day set apart for religious services. How many people will be conducting religious services this coming Thursday? That's what Webster says. It's a public religious service, especially to acknowledge the goodness of God, either in any remarkable deliverance from calamities or danger, or in the ordinary dispensation of His bounties. Because God ordinarily dispenses His bounty to His people. He gives to us bountifully. There are none of us in this room who are hungry. None of us are without a home. None of us, there's not one of us here that can say we haven't had a meal to eat since last week. I'm not talking about since last night. Okay? God's Word defines thanksgiving as a sacrifice. A sacrifice. God's Word defines thanksgiving as a sacrifice. In the seventh chapter of Leviticus, it's called a sacrifice given by free will. It's a free will sacrifice. It's not something that God has to drag out of you. It's something that you freely give to God. Thanksgiving. In the 107th Psalm, we hear, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them," hear me now, "let them," hear the word I should say, "sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." Declare His works with rejoicing. Rejoice at the work of the Lord. Rejoice. Give thanks. It's a sacrifice. In Psalm 116 and verse 17, we hear, "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." I will offer, I will give to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's a sacrifice. In Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9, we hear Jonah say, "I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." It is of the Lord, and we are to give thanks. We have been redeemed. We have been bought. We've been paid for. We have been salvaged from the wreckage. We've been brought out of damnation into eternal life, and we need to give thanks to Almighty God. Because He's the one alone who can save us. None other. Singing and playing music is described as a means for giving thanks in God's Word. Psalm 147 and 7 says, "Sing unto the Lord with," say the word, "thanksgiving." Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. "And sing praise upon the harp unto our God." In Psalm 69 and verse 30, we hear, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving." We get so caught up In our modern idea of Thanksgiving, because as we're preparing, we're thinking, well, you know, we got to have this, we got to have that, we got to have the other. Oh, yeah, we got to have a turkey. I told Chris this morning, I said, why don't we just take one of those? No, I said, why don't we have a goose instead of a turkey? She said, where are we going to get a goose? I said, in the backyard. She didn't like that idea. She didn't like that. She didn't want to kill one of the pet geese for for Thanksgiving. Right, Chris? Oh, praise the Lord. And in Psalm 69:30, as I said, I'll praise the name of God with a song. We'll magnify him with thanksgiving. And then I ask, well, why? Why praise the name of God with a song and magnify him with thanksgiving? The next verse, Psalm 69:31, tells us, this also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. The sacrifice of thanksgiving, they were in a time when they had to sacrifice animals to please the Lord. They had to sacrifice animals. And the scripture tells us that the giving of thanks is better than that. Now, we don't sacrifice animals, but we can sacrifice praise. We can sacrifice thanksgiving. We can give thanks to God no matter what the circumstances are. And some of us have some pretty bad circumstances in here, folks. I know all of us could raise our hands. We've got circumstances that aren't looking good. But we can give thanks and magnify the name of the Lord. And the sacrifice of giving thanks is better than animal sacrifices. That's amazing. You think about that. If they'd have got it back then, if they would have figured it out, giving thanks was better. It's written in those old Hebrew scriptures. It's written, giving of thanks is better than the, God receives that better than animal sacrifices. Our Creator desires our sacrifice of thanksgiving. God inhabits the praises of his people. That's what's written in Psalm 22, verse 3. God inhabits the praises of his people. Shall we praise him? Hallelujah. We should. Our text reading today gives us four things tied together. These three, rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks, are all linked together with a fourth thing. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. It's God's will for you. For you. It is God's will for you. Do you want to know the will of God for your life? Rejoice always and in everything. Give thanks. Pray continually. And 1 Thessalonians 5:19 tells us, quench not the Spirit. Somehow, I see this as him saying, if you don't rejoice and you don't pray and you don't give thanks, you are quenching the Spirit. You know, what's interesting, folks, we see that quench not the Spirit implies that those preceding verses are movements of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit resides within us, if we are, in fact, the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost wants to move through us, how does he operate? I would present to you at least three different ways right here in the Scriptures. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. 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 And listen to the Holy Spirit as he speaks through you to the Father. When we don't rejoice, we don't pray, we don't give thanks continually, we're quenching the Spirit of the living God. That's the truth of it. Do we want to see the Holy Spirit of God move in our lives? Rejoice always in all things. Pray continually. Pray continually and give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks for everything. I give thanks that each and every one of you wandered out to this little old church building this morning. I give thanks to God that we've got nearly 5,000 listens online to the sermons. I give thanks to God that he provides a way for us to reach people who can't make it into this building, either with the CDs or online ministry. I give thanks to God for many things. On Thursday, As we celebrate with our family or our friends or both, remember to obey the will of Almighty God and not quench the Spirit. Remember those three things. The first one, rejoice always and in everything. We are among the most blessed in this land. We are among the most blessed. No matter what is wrong, we are still among the most blessed. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us moan and groan. No, that's not what it says, does it? It says, let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this day, today, any day, when we wake up on top of the grass, we are to praise God. The word rejoice occurs 192 times in the Scriptures. Now, I'm not going to read every verse. Just a couple. 192 times we hear the word rejoice. Do you think it has some prominence in God's Word? Rejoice. Many times that word is preceded with ye shall or thou shall. Thou shall rejoice. Ye shall rejoice. You will rejoice. You shall absolutely rejoice. This is what the Word of God says. Now, as I told the children, many times he's telling particular people that they will rejoice whenever they see him manifested in a circumstance, whatever that is. Rejoice. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, in verse 10, we hear, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Rejoice. And in Psalm chapter 2, in verse 11, we hear, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. The second thing that we heard in our passage was pray continually. In the 18th chapter of Luke's gospel record, we hear Jesus' parable of the persistent widow. Now, you know, some would say, well, you know, we're not to pray repetitiously. But Jesus tells us to pray continually. And how does he tell us? He instructed his followers to always pray and not lose heart. Pray and not lose heart. He told them of a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. This was in a parable. It was a parabolic story that he shared with his disciples to illustrate a point of praying. He said, this judge didn't fear God. He didn't regard men. He didn't care about anybody. He was the mighty judge. We've got some of those in our land today, don't we? Think they're above everything. There came this poor widow, a poor woman who came to the judge for justice. She wanted him to help her out. And he wouldn't at first. Jesus said then the judge reasoned within himself to help her because he wanted her to go away. He didn't want to be bothered anymore. Not because he was regarding people. Not because he feared God. Not because he was a moral man. But because he wanted to save himself some headache. Because this woman was knocking on his door. She was not letting go. Hey, Mr. Judge, I need your help. I need your help. The judge finally gave in. Jesus said, God will avenge his people who cry out day and night, his people who pray continually. Even though he takes his time sometimes, God will help. He's a very present help. And then he said something. Jesus said something that stuck with me for ever since I probably first read it. It's a long time, I know that. He said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? That's in Luke chapter 18, if you care to read it for yourself. Will the Son of Man find faith when he returns? And what does he do? He's connecting prayer to faith. That's important. Persistent prayer with thanksgiving is an act of faith. It's an act of faith to go to our holy Creator and say, look, God, I don't have it. I don't know how to get it, but I know you do, and I need your help. It's an act of faith to pray continually, to not give up. Are we remaining faithful in this respect? I have to ask, folks. Are we? Do we pray when we're alone? I would say most of us do. Most of us pray when we're alone. But do we gather for prayer? Ah, that's something where a lot of us are falling short. We need to be gathering for prayer. We need to pray corporately. Now, I know some people by circumstances are unable. I get that. But if we are able, we need to. We really do. We need to be praying. The third thing we heard there was to give sacrificial thanks in and for everything. And Psalm 50:14 commands us to offer thanksgiving to God. It's also commanded in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And that's where we hear, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for some things. Be anxious for everything. No. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. And I lose it here sometimes, folks. When life gets overwhelming, I get anxious. I don't want to be anxious, and I fight it. But sometimes the circumstances are so overwhelming, it just grabs me like a rush of water. You ever get into a creek, and the water increases in pressure, and next thing you know, you're swept off your feet? That's the kind of thing that happens to people, because we're so overwhelmed with the circumstances that we lose sight of our Creator, and He tells us, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, that special type of prayer where we're reaching to God, we're begging God if necessary, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then He gives us a benefit. Be anxious for nothing. By prayer and supplication in everything, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's a benefit for praising. There's a benefit for giving thanks. There's a benefit for praying. Do you get that? Do you get that? In Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2, we hear, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Thanksgiving is more than just a meal, folks. Thanksgiving is something that we sacrifice to God. Psalm 100 and verse 3 is where we hear, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with, say the word, thanksgiving. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. All generations includes us, folks. His truth endures to all generations, and we can give thanks to Him for that. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. What am I thankful for? Many things. My parents could have aborted me. Oh, I know abortion wasn't legal at that time, but people were still getting abortions. My parents didn't have a good circumstance at the time of my conception. They could have said, get rid of this child. I'm thankful they didn't. I'm thankful that God brought me here 10 years ago. And do you know that this message that I'm presenting to you today, I delivered on the first Thanksgiving that I ever spoke here. If anybody thinks that my speaking or preaching or my messages have changed over the last 10 years, I think you'll see through this message that they haven't. It's been consistent. I preach the Word, and I'm thankful to God that He taught me His Word at a young age so I can bring it to other people. I can deliver it to other people. I can help other people come to know Him in the way that I know Him. I thank Him for that. I thank Him for this building. I thank Him for the heat in this building. I thank Him for the lights in this building. Whenever you get to your home, I want you to sit down. I want you to take a tablet of paper, and I want you to write down the things that you're grateful for. Write down the things that you can give thanks for. The next time you turn the spigot on and the water comes out, give thanks to God The next time you turn on the hot water spigot and the water comes out, give thanks to God. There are some people who don't have running water at this time. I've been there. I've lived that way. I'm thankful that God has given me the ability to bring His Word to bear upon other people's lives. I'm thankful that He uses me. And I'm thankful that He uses each and every one of you in various capacities. I want to see Him use you to a greater degree as we move forward as a body of believers. I'm thankful that we have the online ministry now. I'm thankful that we can reach people in places that we'd never be able to reach. Because of that, He gives us the ability. Thankful for Skyping, without which we wouldn't be able to have Gary in our service today. I'm thankful that there are people that have stepped up to help to cover the costs of his care. I'm thankful for the people that are there with him. I'm thankful for our brothers and sisters. Even though they are ill, they continue to come in and get the messages on CD. I'm thankful that God in His mercy has given us His work to do. That's written in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And as that passage goes on, we learn that we do not preach ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord. And we preach ourselves as servants for His sake. We're always servants because the same God who said that light should shine out of darkness has given us that light. And we're to shine that light out. And for that reason, we bring to light the knowledge about God's glory, which shines from Christ. For that reason, we bring to light the knowledge about God's glory. And that shines from Christ. Yet we who have this spiritual treasure are like common clay pots. We're just like common clay pots, folks. We're nothing special. And we don't need to be. We simply pour out what He pours in. He pours it in, we pour it out. We can never outgive God. It doesn't matter what capacity we're looking at, whether it be in sharing His truth, or it be in sharing love, sharing peace, sharing joy, sharing our finances. And a lot of times we overlook that. We can't outgive God. Because the supreme power belongs to God, not to us. What can be seen is temporal. But what cannot be seen lasts forever. And that's our goal, is to get from what can be seen to what cannot be seen. From now to the end of time. From now to the day of the Lord. Should the Lord return during our lifetimes, we're going to see things get rougher. We've looked at the signs of the times. We've been looking at the coming of day of the Lord. And in the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at His first coming and how it relates to His second coming. But we have to look for that which cannot be seen, because that's what lasts forever. I'm going to wrap this up. I've just got a few final thoughts and reminders. As we celebrate this Thanksgiving tradition, let's have some thanksgiving coming out of our mouths. We know there's going to be lots of thanksgiving going into our mouths, but let's have some thanksgiving come out. Let's have a mouth full of thanksgiving. Think about what you have to be thankful for. Start a gratitude journal to remind yourself. When everything starts looking dark, you can pull out that journal and you can look at it and say, well, I am thankful for that. I am thankful for that. I am thankful for that. I started just trying to make one page. And I filled a whole legal tablet, both sides of the paper, with things I was grateful for. Do it, folks. It really is a powerful exercise. It's important to remind yourself of what you're thankful for, because the whole world is trying to steal your joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know that from a message just a few weeks ago. Give thanks in everything. Give thanks. Praise Him. Rejoice always. Write those things down so that you can refer back to them whenever your mind is all clogged up with all the things that are going wrong. Look back at those things that you wrote down while you were in a peaceful state of mind. Those things that you do have an ability to be grateful for. that you can give thanks for. And then you can start speaking thanksgiving into your life. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. If nothing else ever happened good to me again, I can still give thanks for Him saving my soul, because I will have eternal life because of Him. Not because of me or anything I've done. It's the goodness of God that brings salvation to humanity. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Rejoice always and in all things. Pray continually and give thanks. And receive grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we know that Jesus is coming again, Yeshua, our Messiah. We ask, Father, that You would help us to continue to bring to light the knowledge of Your glory. Help us, Father. Help us to know that You are God. You've made us. We haven't made ourselves. Help us sing to You. Help us to sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. As we sit down at a table and eat such a bounty, Lord, as many of us will, help us to be thankful. Let's have a mouth full of thanksgiving. Have it come out of our mouth as well as go into it, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's open our hymnals to that familiar hymn, number 151. We have been singing it through this series as our closing hymn after the message. Number 151. And let's sing together, Jesus is Coming Again. Number 151.
Michaela, we're going to light feathers with us next Sunday.